How many are on now?
I think there's four of us.
Oh, we need more than that.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question. What was the center you said in New York that you were helping with, Gail?
Well, it was part of Empire Field Days, and even though it's an exhibit, and we had a, it was a 20 by 40 tent, I believe, but they called them centers, and it was called the Accessibility Center. It was sponsored by Country Folks, which is a kind of a magazine slash newspaper that's very wide read throughout the whole Northeast.
Okay, is it, but was it like during a fair or was it a standalone event?
It was during the Empire Farm Days, which is a three-day totally agricultural fair. There are there's no rides. There's very few even food concessions. Believe it or not, there was no fried bread that I saw. Fried bread. But, you know, the fire department had the chicken barbecue, and then there was a pork barbecue and a beef barbecue, but there were just a few, very few food concession stands around. The rest of it was just totally agricultural. We were in the tent next door to the New York Center for Agricultural Medicine and Health, and they were doing blood pressure screenings, skin cancer screenings, and that's something that they've been doing long-term, and generally there are lines, people waiting to have the skin cancer screening. They come back year after year and check the progress. And,
See, that's something that we've just started, is having at different farm events, is having all of the farmer screenings.
Right, and actually we've been doing that at our Vermont Farm Show, which actually happens the last week of January. It's extremely well attended because there's no field work that they can be doing. And we're fortunate here that we have a medical school as well as nursing schools right in the area. We've been doing... and also schools of massage. So we were doing blood pressure screening, blood glucose screening, hearing tests. This year, body mass index. This year we did Tdap vaccinations. The school of massage came and did massage. So while people were waiting, they could be getting a massage. It's growing every year, and that's the way I envision this accessibility center at Empire working. And what we really need to do is get a larger tent with NICAM and their help center there and get us all under one roof. That would really make a huge difference.
Well, I think that, again, I'm going by what I heard before, that there wasn't a collaboration and
but we did talk with them, and they're thinking that's a great idea too. Whether it'll happen overnight, you know, I'm not behind the dollars and cents of all of this either, and oftentimes that's what it comes down to.
Well, I know we have Farm Progress Show that shifts between Illinois and Iowa. And Farm Progress, who is in charge of the show, actually provides a tent and space for health and safety.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been in that tent. Shoot, I go back when it came to Indiana in 2001, it was here at Lafayette, and part of my initiation was being in charge of that tent and, getting various organizations come in and, hearing tests and all kinds of health-related issues.
Right.
And it... Space is the key to it, and Farm Progress basically donates the space, and that really makes a difference.
Right. Yeah. But I think for the first year it went pretty well after, I guess, kind of a rough start. Yeah, hopefully next year it'll be bigger and better, make better use of the space. Goodwill of the Finger Lakes was there, and they had been put in the tent with NICAM, so I would hope that we would get, you know, in the same tent with them, so that we're aligned with them. But, you know, it's the first year.
Right, right.
So did Bill come back pretty positive about it?
A lot more than he did when he was going.
Right.
He had trouble.
Travel trouble, yes.
Trouble. He didn't get back to Indianapolis till 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, lovely.
And then he had three meetings at the state fair on Friday.
Wow.
I saw him. I was working the late shift at the fair, and I saw him about between 4 and 5 o'clock, and he was dragging pretty good.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So,
and we were only there for a day and a half of the fair, of the 3 days of the fair. And weather, you know, has been a real challenge in the Northeast.
Right.
And the first day, the weather was great and projected to stay great, and I know attendance was down. And so the first day wasn't very encouraging, but the second day, the weather wasn't as great and was supposed to be deteriorating and had a better crowd. And an odd thing, they would not announce, they had a PA system, but they would not announce our event. And so basically it was us outside drawing people in and people that had read about it in the Country Folks magazine, which was quite a few. And actually there's a fairly large Amish population in the area, a Mennonite population, and they were probably at least a third of the audience.
Bill said he had never seen as many Mennonite in one together at one time at a show like that.
Yeah. And actually, several of them came up to me afterwards, and I was providing them information of, you know, phone numbers, and some of them that had computer access information of websites to visit for particular problems that
mm-hmm.
they had. And so I thought that was really helpful. And
yes.
One gal who I spoke with and her daughter, the spina bifida, and had been able to walk, and now she's in her 20s and is deteriorating and is in a wheelchair, and she just thought that Ed Bell's standing wheelchair would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it would have to be an all-manual one, but so I introduced her to Ed, and I think that went really well. She stayed and chatted with him for quite a while, and he was, you know, he engaged her very nicely, and so I felt great about it.
Good, good. We have somebody else come on?
Maureen in Brockville, Ontario.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very, very well. How are you?
Good, good. Well, there's four of us on now, with you making number five, so.
Excellent.
We've been chatting about the Empire Farm Days.
Excellent.
Well, let's start on, talk about the RESNA conference, because I think there were some things that at least I felt were significant there. There was about 450 people there. We had the National Project had a display, and I thought it probably got better response this year than what we have in the past. But there were fewer exhibitors. Got the impression that dollars was part of the issue. One of the things that I guess I took from the whole conference is, and this is from conversations from the special interest group and then the professional specialty group, looking at certification, and the ATP is kind of an umbrella for the certification that they do, and then they're looking at specialty certifications. In the past, there has been a rehab engineering technician certification put on hold for a couple of years, and there was, I think, some significant conversation, discussion about bringing that back. And I was pleased that AgriBuilty is going to have a voice in the certification, bringing it back and some of the application to it. I've been asked to be on a conference call August 30th in the afternoon to discuss that certification. So I say that to say that I think we're having a presence with Resna, and that we're going to try to cultivate that more. Yes, Sandra, I'll turn it over to you and let you talk about what you thought and what you got out of the conference.
Okay. Sandra from Oklahoma. I thought it was a really good, a lot of the breakout sessions that I went to, I thought maybe this year applied more to me, or I got more of a benefit from. We did our presentation with you, of course, and I think the response from the people that attended, I mean, they're really interested in their experience. It's like, oh, wow, I've never heard of, or, you know, it's a niche. Most people haven't really thought of. I also did the show and tell, like a little 3-minute, I think 2 slides, just to kind of show some before and after with assistive technology. And several people in there were just like, this is really deep. Just, you know, they never thought of it for, you know, like the farming community. So I thought it was a very, very good conference this year.
Okay. Ineta?
I think one of the major things that I took from the Resna conference was during our presentation, finding that issues with VR isn't just happening with AgriBuilty, that there's some bigger issues with VR and funding throughout the entire nation across the board, and funding in general, finding you know, the funding for assistive technology. And I'd like to echo Sandra by saying, you know, folks were amazed that what we were doing with farmers, and a lot of people had not even thought that you know, that's been in the field for a long time, didn't think that what was going on with farmers was even possible, because they didn't even know about the technologies that were out there. So I think that it is kind of neat for them to see that assistive technology is being used in other places other than in school systems and augmentative communication and mobility. There's a lot of other things going on also.
What can you tell us a little bit about ISASH?
Okay, you guys, my travels were once again were interrupted. I left Resna early because I wanted to get to ISASH. And needless to say, I spent 48 hours in the airport in Washington because the airplane that I was going to fly out on had mechanical problems, and apparently this from what we got from the airport was this was their busy cruise season. So every single flight was booked solid, and so you just had to be put on standby and keep jumping from gate to gate to see if you could catch a plane. So I was supposed to have arrived in IFASH on Sunday evening, and it was Monday at about 3 o'clock before I actually finally got to Ohio. But the conference, it was great. There was quite a few folks from AgriBility that was there, and basically it was really nice to have the safety and health and IFASH looking at, AgriBility as, partners in everything. So, I mean, like I said, it was a very good conference. The sessions were wonderful. I missed the keynote speaker, which I thought would have been absolutely marvelous. And, of course, that's the part that I missed in my flying ordeal. But anyway, that's pretty much what I have on that.
Okay.
Hey, Inetta, this is Sandra. Very quickly, anything with Border Patrol, moments for you when you travel?
No. Just the issue with the plane that I had to, sleep in the airport for 48 hours. That was it.
Okay, good. Just checking on you.
Yeah, no Border Patrol issues. Just couldn't find a plane. I kept thinking, okay, am I going to have to rent a car and drive to Ohio? Yes, I'm traveling. I don't know what is up with me in traveling. It's just one of those things.
Hey, so at the conference, because I have never been to one up there, what's your main takeaway?
Excuse me?
At the conference that you went to?
Yeah, what about it?
I've never been to one, so what was your main takeaway from it?
It's geared toward it's the International Safety and Health conference, and it's the one thing that this year it seemed like there was a lot of duplication in research. There was several folks that were rehashing rollover ROPs for tractors. It's like one would have a research project going on with it, and then someone else would have it. And it just seemed like, and Gail, I think you and I had talked about this, that it was just like the same research seemed to be being rehashed over and over.
Yes, a lot of it was. Same people, same thing the next year. There was one very interesting one that, you may have missed them entirely because they had some of the posters up for the first half and then others up the second half. And it was an E911 system using it's not Google Earth, but using the NRCS aerial photos so that you can, on your farm or farmstead, put in all of the different safety and explosion risks and everything so that it's instantly available to your fire department and stuff. And that's still I think it is in beta testing right now, but I really found that very interesting and hopeful.
Yes. But there was very few things that we haven't heard before. It was the same research, just kind of rehashed in a different way.
Right. In the sessions, one thing that I heard, and really the person was so alarmed about it, is the warnings about the ultra-low sulfur, the explosion possibilities, and how it's really not well-known out there, and the AEM, Association of Equipment Manufacturers, are really trying to get the word out. But, you know, the ultra-low sulfur has gone from something like 500 parts per million down to less than 15, and it's much more combustible than it used to be because of that. And, you know, a lot of people that have their diesel tanks in the back of their truck for in the field refills of equipment, there's great concern about those not being properly grounded or bonded. So many, you know, the backs of trucks, a lot of people, when they get them, they protect them by putting down that rubber, that spray on rubberized coating, and then they put that tank in the back. Well, the tank will no longer be grounded by the truck because it's not in contact with the truck. And it has happened. Luckily, he only knew of two instances, but that there was an explosion because somebody was not grounded or bonded. So they're talking about, you know, having even jumper cables between that tank and whatever you're filling to bond them, and then making sure that that tank in the truck is properly grounded, and that word needs to be getting out. It's not well known. And it's also just not well known that diesel, that ultra-low sulfur diesel, which is all that's available now, is almost as combustible as gasoline now.
Yes.
Let me throw out some sessions at Resna that I attended, and I got quite a bit out of. The first one was starting your own business, and I think Annette and I have talked about it some. This gentleman started his own business, doing assessments and so forth, and he was talking about, you know, the business of it. I think I haven't checked to see if his PowerPoints are on the site yet or not, but
they
very
are,
well.
Because I just checked on. Well, I checked about 5 days ago, and they weren't.
Okay. I think I've got a copy of them somewhere. Don't ask me where. The other, there were two others that I got a lot out of. And the first one, I think it talks about, the title was Older Drivers, When Should Dad Give Up His Keys? And they were referring to driving a truck or car, but I think it could be applied to tractors, and it was more a, you know, what are the tests, concrete ideas of how to say, okay, we've got a problem here because, you know, they're swerving or not stopping at stop signs and some of that. The other one was called Behind the Wall, Creating Accessible Environments. And you had two architects that do home accessibility assessments and modifications, talking about being able to look at structures and saying, okay, this is where studs should be, or this is concrete block, and how to work with different ones. Any other comments?
The only comment that I would like to make, I think, in regards to Resna, is that I think it's a wonderful certification, but it's so expensive. I mean, just the cost of getting to the conference, being able to keep up your CEUs, to where, you know, we're trying to encourage more agribility staff to participate, but yet the cost is so high that it's hard to figure out, you know, to make it all fit together. And I think that's, I don't know that there is any way around that. It's just that, I mean, you look at the cost of the test, you look at the cost of your certification, the cost of membership, and then just getting to the conference, I mean, you're talking thousands of dollars, you know, a year. So, I mean, that's the only issue that I have, and I don't know if that's something that at some point we can address or have it, you know, talk more about that from an agribility standpoint or from a resident standpoint. But I know that, I mean, I think the certification is wonderful, but it's just so expensive. I don't know how accessible that is to everyone in agribility.
Right. I agree.
All right, Matthew.
One of the things that I've, and I know I'm not the only one who's been doing that this summer, is the recertification. And having not gone to Baltimore a year ago, I need to make up the credits otherwise, which you can do that with the quizzes, or that's how I did it.
Right.
And
but there's only so many. There's only so many you can do with that, and that's what I was looking, because my certification is going to be up next year, and with not having to leave Reznor early this year, so I could go to ISASH. It's, you know, I'm really, you know, hoping that I can pull out enough, because there's other places that you can get it. Like some areas have, you know, webinars that are for certification or whatever. But, you know, finding those and making sure and there again, most of those that I have found are for augmentative communication, which it does, I mean, I can't say it doesn't help me, because it does, but, you know, at least it's something for my certification, even though it's not something that I use a lot of.
Right. Well, I've seen ATIA has some online webinars that you can get some credits for. Now,
you have to just make sure that you keep an eye out for those, I guess is what I was saying.
Well, those are archived online, so.
Okay.
It'll help some.
And hey, this is Sandra. I'm also up for recertification, like in September, so I'm wrapping up a lot of my CEUs. And I think, if I recall, there's a component that for just direct services. I mean, you get so many points. Is that not right, Steve?
I'm not sure.
Now say that again.
I don't think so for doing direct service. Now,
no, I don't think, not for recertification. I think that was the direct services is what counts toward whether or not you're eligible to take your test to begin with. But I don't think that there's anything for direct services as far as certification, other than they want to know, are you providing direct services? I don't think you get any credits for it.
You know, I don't have my notebook with me, but I printed off all the ins and outs, and I could stand corrected. But I was thinking, that, I mean, there's so many points that you can get that have to be, you know, CEUs. I'll have to look at it.
Yeah. Now, I know Ned Stoller is redoing his, and he presented at the NTW a year ago, and he asked me for a letter verifying that he had presented, and he was going to use that.
Maybe that's what it is, some trainings or presentations.
Yeah.
It's something other than having to review something or attend a conference. I'll have to look at it again.
Yeah.
But I do have to echo, Annetta, what you were saying on the cost of it would be maybe prohibitive to some that, I mean, if there's not an organization or something that helps, I mean, just an individual,
right.
Like med.
I mean, and if your state, you know, if it's kind of like, well, yeah, it'd be all right, but they're not really behind it to say, yeah, we want you to do it, to make sure that they, you know, assist with that funding or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's very costly.
Yep. Well, I think we're going to take care of the transportation part a little bit easier this next year because Resna is in Indianapolis.
Well, lucky
yeah.
you.
Yeah, for you, that's a little better. Actually, yeah, I mean, it is. It's definitely closer.
Yeah. And
they're also in Washington. We're tough.
Yeah. Well, and I think Baltimore, if I remember right, hotel was pretty tough there too.
Oh, yes, Baltimore was very expensive.
So, but it's going to be in Indianapolis. It's going to be probably a couple blocks from where the NTW was. It'll be close. Well, our Victory Field, where the AAA baseball team, it's right across the street there, and a lot of museums and stuff. They've already put out the call for proposals for sessions for this next year. And I know we put one in, and I'm not sure Ineta didn't know about it. And I don't know whether Sandra and Dan knew I'd put their names on the proposal. But I'm looking at putting in at least one proposal for this next year.
I think that's great. And I think most of us
yeah.
know that Oklahoma is not seeking for refunding this next year as of April. But I personally will be involved in things. So that's why I was kind of echoing Ineta with the APP expenses and things like that. That if there's when there's not an agency
yeah.
or organization
right.
supporting it, Ned, I don't know what Ned does, but I don't know. It makes a difference. So, but I do
yeah.
Fully expect to participate and stay very active in agri-ability endeavors. So,
now, did you say that Oklahoma is not seeking reapplication?
Correct.
Okay. Well, we're still waiting to hear. I'm kind of on a day-by-day contingency here until we hear something.
So you haven't heard anything yet at all?
No, nothing. The only thing we got was that email from Georgia, you know, that everybody got that said they received that they were not funded. But to my knowledge, no. I mean, maybe other people have heard something, but I know West Virginia hasn't heard yay or nay.
Well, USDA hadn't said anything. We haven't heard anything. So.
Well, I'm just wondering. To me, it just seems really strange that they would let one state know and not, like, put it all out. So I'm a little confused about that.
Well,
I'm with you, Ineta. I just don't get that.
Technically
yeah.
speaking, they shouldn't have said anything. So. But anyway.
I guess. But anyway, you know, the rest of us are just sitting here, you know, biting
oh, yeah.
our nails, wondering, you know, what the heck is going on.
Well, don't feel bad. We're wondering what's going on, too, so.
Yes, so.
Well, let me ask this question. What would you like to see as a session at Resna next year?
What about putting together an agri-ability module to help with certification?
And I think if nothing else, having, I don't know if maybe we could do two sessions, but something that actually showcases what agribility does in the area of assistive technology. That, you know, it encompasses, you know, mobility. It encompasses all of, you know, assistive technology.
I like that.
Okay.
The home, the vehicle, the equipment, machinery,
yes.
Outbuilding.
Exactly. Right. That we, you know, we are looking at that farmers as a you know, everything. Yeah, from their home, their community, their church, their farm equipment, the how many gates they have, you know, all of that, and let people know that, you know, we're looking at a large spectrum of assistive technology and not just a small, it's not just mobility, it's not just communication, it's not just, you know, one or the other.
Holistic.
Yep.
Yeah, I like
that.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Okay.
And maybe we take the approach of that holistic and then weave in the mobility and the communication.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm thinking, is that if we look at, we come across with a holistic approach, then we can say, you know, we have to look at mobility. Not only are we looking at perhaps, you know, mobility around the farm and, you know, wheeled mobility, but then also their tractor, their truck, and then, you know, with the communication, it may be something that, you know, communicating with family members is different than communicating with, like, the feed store or at the auction or, you know, things like that. And how, you know, a lot of times we have to do training with, you know, folks in the community because they don't understand the disability.
Okay.
Now maybe that's too much for one session. I don't know.
Well, there is. You've got the workshops within the conference itself, and you have pre-conference instructional sessions, which can be half day or full day.
Yeah, but I don't know how many people would actually attend for the pre-instructional courses.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would get more response during the actual conference.
Okay.
Because there again, how many folks actually do what we do other than other agribility staff? And we're wanting it to be more, you know, let people know what we actually do.
Okay.
Like I said, the instructional training, I'm just not sure if we get that many folks to attend.
Right. Well, when you, there's an additional cost to doing
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking, and I would like to see if I can get Life Essentials to bring a tractor down or with a lift or a truck lift and the hitch, and but whether we'd use them in a presentation or not, I don't know. But
I've been using some of their video.
Yeah.
In presentations I've used. So even if we can't get it, we may be able to use some video clips to that in, you know, in the presentation.
And I don't know how many, you know, proposals we want to throw out there, but always the safety prevention. I mean, I think we weave that through everything we do, but if we maybe really hit that hard.
What did you say?
Screening, safety prevention.
Yes. Another one that I was personally thinking about looking at, because we've heard a lot about the emergency preparedness for people with disabilities,
right.
But yet whenever you're looking at emergency preparedness, not only for a person with disability, but then also a farmer that has to look at what's going on with their livestock. you know, and how to make sure that everything on the farm is taken care of. I was looking at doing one, but I have to wait to see if we're refunded. But that may be something else that, like as Sandra said, you know, I don't know how many we want to, like, throw out there, but that may be something else, because we're hearing a lot of, you know, the emergency preparedness for folks with disabilities, but yet we have to take a step further.
Sure.
And you know what, Steve, this is Sandra again. If you had said, you know, having, like, AgriBility having a bigger presence within ResNA.
Mm-hmm.
We're a pretty big group. I mean, not just the AT part of it, but, you know what, if Gail specializes in that safety prevention part of it, maybe mm-hmm. Gail does chair in that. And, Inetta, you've got emergency preparedness. Or,
right.
I mean, we all kind of do it together, but we really hit it hard where we are scattered all over.
Yeah.
The agenda, you know, it's just not one show and tell thing. It's,
right.
You know what I mean? We bring in more bodies, and so it's not really just more work for each of us. It's just.
Well, I know that the job accommodation special interest group, they're always begging for presentations, for proposals.
Right.
Because it, you know, they're. There hasn't been a lot of them.
And the ones they've had the same people doing kind of the same things for several years.
Yep. And so I guess what the way I'm approaching it and thinking, and part of it is because I'm so close, I'd like to get more of the actual hands-on stuff there.
Well, and that's, Steve, I think you hit a good point there. I have, the first several years that I went to ResNA, I was so impressed by the exhibit hall and all the different stuff. The past several years, it's basically been, you know, wheeled mobility. There just hasn't been a whole lot of any type of assistive technology that's kind of new and upcoming that, like, catches your eye. And I think if we could do something like that and actually get, you know, a tractor in there with a lift and, you know, the lift in the back of the truck and different ones, you know, I just think it would be wonderful.
Well, this last one was probably the low point on what the ones I've been to, because
oh, yeah.
All you had was wheelchairs and augmented communication.
Yep.
Basically.
Did you think the sessions were better though? I mean, I thought that the exhibit hall was pretty weak, but
I thought the sessions were better than what they had been.
Yeah.
I still think. We could do more with, you know, home mods and that type of thing. And I think that, well, you look at AgriBility, look at turnover and staff.
Right.
And
you know, even if we had something also with, like, universal design and,
yep.
you know, like the home mods, universal design, all that, because that's a huge area, and there again, it was very weak in that area, I felt.
Yep. Well, that's where my initial training really was in home modifications was at ResNA. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking in there also. And
well, and I like Sandra's idea that if we – well, Steve, first of all, when is the – when does the proposals have to be in?
Hang on a minute while I...
I'm sorry. Well, the reason I was asking is because I think if we have a little bit of time, I love Sandra's idea of getting folks, you know, like Gail could do a whole safety thing on, you know, or she does like the women with ergonomic tools, do a whole session like that. And, you know, I could do the emergency preparedness. Sandra could do, you know, something. We could actually have a lot of agribility presence in a lot of other areas, but we need to know, and there again, I could look it up, but I can't, I mean, not now, but I was just thinking if we knew when the proposals needed to be in, we might be able to kind of talk to people to see if they would be interested in doing that.
Do October 21st.
Oh, we have some time then.
Yeah.
Right. So we still have time to kind of pull that off.
Yep.
And not saying like one person has to run off and just do it all by themselves, but maybe we create like some teams.
Sure.
Right. Yes. Yes.
I don't know. Maybe give it some more thought and see. Gail, are you still on with us?
I am.
What do you think?
Well, I have never been to RESNA, and I'm not certified as an ATP, so I don't know that I'd even be qualified.
You're qualified.
That's the thing is that you wouldn't, as a presenter, you wouldn't have to be an ATP. You would be presenting on the safety, health and safety, and use of ergonomic tools.
Okay.
And Gail, I didn't mean to throw you under the bus there, girl. If you're not, I just frog and you do all of that.
I'm part
really,
of the club.
you just do well in that area, and that's why.
Well, and you know, it's one of those things we can, you know, if we can throw the proposal in, and I think if they look at, you know, the presenter, like Sandra said, instead of just having Gail listed as the presenter herself, have one of the other ATPs on there with her to make that the stronger proposal. So if they have a problem that Gail's not an ATP, there's an ATP presenting with her.
Exactly. And maybe that's great, Annette, and maybe that's what we do, you know, like.
And that may be a way to get more agribility folks is to find someone that's not an ATP that has a strong area and pair them up with an ATP from agribility, you know, to do those things.
Yep, right. Another thought in just kind of brainstorming,
sure.
You know, how we did our VR, and I agree there's challenges, I think, across the board, not just with only agribility. I think it's kind of that system itself. But maybe in Oklahoma, I mean, there's a handful of ATs, well, one of them's an ATP, but the other AT specialist here with the VR, maybe we can kind of, I don't know, do some type of presentation with VR and agribility, or maybe it's a panel discussion, or we can, you know, pick a hot topic and pass it out or something. But I think showing that we are in, you know, in cahoots, or we're all kind of, I mean, you got a good VR in Indiana. I cannot, or VS. I don't know the lady's name, Steve. But I talked to her one, at some conference. But she was really, I think it was an NTW a couple of years ago. She was really involved.
Yep.
And she was a VS counselor from Indiana. So I don't know. Maybe think about pulling them in, possibly.
Well, I'm looking to see if I can get some of the counselors coming to RESNA. And we're one of the things that I'm finding is that some of the counselors I worked with before and know us are becoming supervisors, which is helping us out too.
Right.
So
now, I say all that. I don't know how. Oklahoma's still kind of working through how, you know, we've got ourselves established and doing a piece, you know, the contract with them for farm assessments. And I think that. I don't think that's going to sour those relationships too much.
Right.
Anyway, well, just kind of talking out loud.
To give you a heads up, you know, we've got a agribility all staff call on Monday afternoon.
On when?
Monday.
Monday.
Yes.
This coming Monday.
19th, yes.
Okay.
You need something else to do.
You're sharing most of it, Inetta.
No. I'm trying. It's like being down here at the fair. I feel like I'm losing touch.
Yes.
You know, and it's like I don't get back until Sunday night, and I'm trying. I have all these other things in my mind on my to-do list, and that was one that just kind of got jumped over. So I've got to make sure I get that on my to-do list.
Well, what I say that because one of the things that is going to be addressed and then further addressed next month with a webinar is sustainability of the projects.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be a good topic.
I think it is. With the budgets as they are, I think it's going to get more important. So, and like you say, you saw the email from Georgia. And,
yep.
Michigan has been doing it. Illinois has done it.
I don't know what happened with the farm dog stuff, but, right? I mean,
yeah.
Wasn't that some change of history?
Yeah, there's changes there. So, I think it's a reality that we're going to have to face. It's like farming. We've got to be diversified.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, that'll be good.
Put your thinking caps on sessions.
Okay.
I think we've got an opportunity.
Okay, do we have another ATCOI call? What is not till October, right?
October will be the next one.
Isn't that when you said the RESNA proposals need to be in?
October 21st.
October 21st.
Okay, and when's our AT call?
We should probably have a visit before the
17th.
Okay, well, that doesn't give us much time. We may, if we're going to want to do something like this, we may want to have something in between here.
Okay.
Another call or something, correspond via email, something. So if we're wanting to pull something like this off.
Well, let's start out with email, and then if we see that we need to do a conference call, we can do that.
Okay.
Steve, could I ask a question?
Sure.
As I'm listening here, I'm wondering if it's possible to do, in terms of sustainability, and then the RESNA conference, worksite assessments and lessons learned for the wider community, prevention, safety, and emergency preparedness, and including the one with the livestock, but sort of looking at the wider community and saying, well, this is what we do for a worksite assessment, and this is how we can help the wider community, and this is how we can build consulting to build the sustainability.
Oh, I like that.
So it's sort of like a reverse engineering of the worksite assessments and looking at what are the problems within the community and how can the lessons learned, because then what you'd be doing is actually including the people with their functional or cognitive or whatever disabilities and then applying that as sort of an outreach but saying this is how we solved it and this is what we do for billing.
Okay. I'm writing. So.
Yeah, I'm always a little bug on the ear, on the wall, right?
Oh, yes, you're good for that.
It's actually a great idea. I think giving it some more thought and kind of tweaking out, flesh it out a little bit. But.
Yeah, because like you have the built environment, you've got, buildings that have to be dealt with. You've got the wastewater side, which is like a whole area that's emerging. For clean tech. So these are all things that you know, and you've got like the construction trades and how like a lot of those technologies from the farm environment. My background's in prosthetics with adaptive tools for, I'm a technician, so I work with disabled farmers out in Saskatchewan for years, but I've also got a trades background and build, you know, business and this kind of stuff. So it just sort of makes sense that if you look at it from a reverse engineering, what are the problems out there and who do you have as expertise and actually use the worksite assessment because you've already got a beautiful tool already built.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's my little thought. And then going into the allied health and the trades there themselves. But, you know, even a lot of what you've got already built up for the people who are the baby boomers and now they're, you know, give us 15 years, some will be in nursing homes, but they also have, like, applied skills and degrees and whatever. So that would allow, like, that expertise to sort of go outside what their normal disciplines are, like go outside the silos. And say, well, how do we actually build on our skills so we actually build nursing homes that we actually will be vibrant and that we want to be in, be it music or whatever, and how do we apply to the instruments or, you know, just sort of opening up and say, well, what do we want our world to be like in 15, 20 years? So it's a little different, but...
Well, I'm loving that, by the way.
Good. Because it's something that goes, like, you know, across many, it's interdisciplinary, and
uh-huh.
You can also tie it into the manufacturing side in terms of, well, how do we do economic development? Let's say if you have to bend sheet metal or if you have to bend, you know, doing plastics extrusion, what do you need for the supply chain so that it actually builds manufacturing in the communities and then go into the adaptive technology? There's a really good group, Seattle Lighthouse for the Blind, Blind Deaf, and Blind with Other Disabilities. And they're actually a machining center of excellence for Boeing. It's a great place to go and have a look at what they do as well as partner.
Interesting concept.
There you go. Because really you want to get to the core of billing. And that's always going to be at the executive development level on the high end of the income. But then you also have, you know, the regular, you know, the farmers and then the people that support them, but also the people within the community who may want to go beyond what their skill base is, either practical or with certification. So that actually, because inclusive really means that everybody, like everybody's got a disability, it just may not show.
Well, that makes me think, too. I think we can safely say that, you know, Social Security isn't going to be what it is now. And we're going to have a lot of people our age and older that will not be able to retire or prepared to retire.
Mm-hmm.
So older workers also.
That's right. And so that becomes really important in terms of your arthritis, your ergonomics. And, you know, if we go on the international, because you've got that component there too, this is a quality of love, that if this is brought out to the wider community, be it agribility or within communities, it promotes a different quality of love that promotes a different quality of trust, and that's your peace building. Especially through the veteran community. That's my landmine victim assistance hat on there. But it's just a totally different quality of love that it builds trust. It's like giving your heart to an animal, and so you have that report there, whether it's a dog or, you know, a horse or whatever, but it's still giving your heart. And it's you know, it's working there and then working with the people. And you know, I think we've had this discussion in different ways, Steve, but really this is sort of applied love.
Yep.
And then it just becomes a translation issue. And that, again, is a way of outreaching into different communities so people reach home.
Could you put an outline together, what you're thinking?
Oh. I love you dearly, dear, but...
Back at you, didn't I?
I you did. You see, I'm doing geomatics. I'm doing internet mapping, and I've got papers and deliverables. So, but I don't mind doing collaboration with the group.
We appreciate your thoughtfulness.
Yeah, I'd love to do collaboration with the group, but for little old me right now, I can pull from all the stuff I've written and what I've worked with, and I'd love to, because I'm actually trying to do this here in my area and then do the follow-on with my degree. But, yeah.
I think we're all about like that, though.
Yeah, but I'd love to help the group, as always, and put some time in that way. I'd love to do it, because I think that you've got enough here that Resna would actually, you know, really grab an interest on this, and you've got to take it up to the level where it becomes like your next step on certification, so that it actually develops revenue centers, so that it makes it more affordable for everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's really the business case side of it.
Hey, Steve, I'm going to have to go.
Okay. Well,
just let me know. Send me an email. Keep me in touch. And, you know, if you need anything from me, just let me know.
Well, we're going to archive the call today.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
we'll
go to the Resna website, and it's got the proposal sheets that we need.
Okay.
You know, we don't have to do the whole proposal or the whole presentation.
Yeah.
Right. Well, anyway, you guys figure it out, and I'll catch up with you later.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have fun here.
Quick question, Steve. Do you have a student that could type up the notes from the conference call?
I do not.
Could you ask around if there's a volunteer that would like to do it?
Hey, we had a discussion this morning in staff meeting about we're looking at getting an intern, and the question that I'm not sure has been answered yet is who's going to supervise the intern. So we're real short on staffing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but if you have a student who down the road would like to be Resna certified, then if that person was actually able to type up the notes, and they could help with the proposal and help them along that track.
I know the person that's going to be doing the proposal.
You.
Right now. So,
so real quickly, Steve, on that note, this is Sandra again. Do you want to send an email maybe where we can all just have a quick visit early September?
Yeah, we'll do that. We might start it out email, and then if we see that, you know, we need to do a conference call, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. If you need some help on the prosthetics, I don't mind contacting Dr. Lemaire at the Rehab Center in Ottawa. He was the president of ISPO for Canada, the prosthetics and orthotics.
Okay.
I would love to do a follow up with him.
Okay.
It'd be a great excuse to go say hi.
Okay.
Yeah. We've also got a number of contacts into the prosthetics world in the States, so we could also ask, you know, to see if we get maybe some funding from Hanger or any or Dorrance or any of those too.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other comments, questions?
No, exciting. Sounds like a lot of opportunities.
Opportunities, yes. Very good, then. We will call it a day. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank
and
you
we'll
very much.
Later.
Lovely to speak with you as always, Steve.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.